feel overwhelmed with life. You know, this is a perfect devotion for me. That's why you're having it, actually. I was having a devotion. I was studying in this area. Or the Lord was leading me in this area. When you feel overwhelmed by your situations and you don't know really what to do, what's next, what should we do as a Christian? And so that's what we're going to talk about. And some of the things that I was reminded to think about is, what would you do if you had no feelings in the matter? Now that's, by the way, not a bad question to be asked. Because Scripture warns us in a lot of different ways. Be careful about your feelings, because we ought to be living, led by our mind and our heart in accordance with the Word of God. Not necessarily our feelings. So I'll tell you what, sometimes that question alone clarifies the issue. If I took feelings out of it, you know, here's the one that really gets a lot of people. Man, I want to be happy. I'm sick of this. You know, should I get this, the couple divorces or get separated? And they say, no. I want to be happy. I'm sick of this. Well, pull your feelings out of it and ask yourself, what should I do? I'll tell you, one of the things I've learned, I'm a horrible predictor of which ways things are going to go and what's going to really make me happy in the end. You know, seeing some turnarounds have been the highest points of my life. Seeing people or in my own life circumstances change. It's just a thrill to see God's hand. What would you do if you had no past baggage? A lot of people are saying, I can't do that. I can't do this. Look at this. You know, I think of this in a couple different ways. I think of it in regards to employment. Well, I can't do that. I tried that before and it didn't work. And yet it is what I really like to do, but you know, I fail a lot in that. Well, you know what? I don't know about that. You look in Scripture and you see all sorts of examples of people that try again, and then finally God blesses. I think of that in regards to business. How many people have failed in their first businesses and they say, well, I'm never going to do it. It's all I want to really do, but I never. And they go through life being defeated by the past, just past garbage, the baggage from past decisions. Another one is relationships. Man, I got married and this was a horrible thing. I'm going to live with people, but I'm going to live with someone, but I'm not going to ever get married. I was with someone not too long ago. 20 years they've lived together. And why aren't they married? One of the driving forces is that the first marriage was a horrible experience. Painful. I'll tell you what, I don't think they've avoided any pain by that choice. I don't think God is honored by fornication for a lifetime. You know, I can't believe God is blessing in any unique way because they're choosing to defy the holiness standards of God's Word. What's the right question to ask about the past? What happened? Be honest, what happened? Be honest about your part in it. Be honest about the circumstances around it. Then ask yourself, what went wrong? What really was it? Was it my own selfishness? Was it my own laziness in employment? Was it the fact that I wasn't responsible in finances in the business? And what can I do differently the next time around? See, then you can go forward. God doesn't intend for us to ignore the past. But I'll tell you what, He sure doesn't want us to be dominated by the past. Today is the start of the rest of your life. Use every minute of it for His glory. What would you do if disregarded what others were saying you should do? Now, this is a particularly biblically challenging question. Here's one of them. The one side of it is, be very, very, very careful about who your counselors are. Because if they're worldly and ungodly, and if you're just trying to do it to please men and not please God, you're in trouble. The other side of it is God says there's wisdom in multiple counsel. So you ought to be looking for other godly people that have great character and a lifestyle that says, yeah, that's the direction I want to go. You might want to sit down with them if they know the Word particularly. Know the Lord, then you ought to sit down and talk to him. That's the topic I wanted to talk about as we go through our evening. This is God's heart for us going forward. Now, this was really helpful to me. I shared a week ago that, in fact, I was struggling. The truth is that I had heard pretty bleak news from my doctor. The doctor said, I really don't know. And I've known the man for about 30 years. So John and I just said, John, who's been a good friend of my brother's, so we were closer than normal, just doctor-patient relationship. I said, okay, put away the, no liabilities here. Just based on what you know, what do you think? He said, honestly, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. This has some bad characteristics that when I crank it into the little computer, it doesn't come up real promising. Okay. So I went away with that, and that's a pretty heavy thing to hear. I shared with my brother, which I did, and he confirmed that, yeah, that doesn't sound good. He's a neurologist, so he pulled back. He says, I could prescribe a bunch of stuff right now, but it may make it worse, so maybe I'll just stay out of that. So we left that one alone. And then I was talking with my one son, and I laughed about this afterwards. In the midst of our discussion, he says, by the way, do you have a will? it was a valid question. It was a good question. And he did it very delicately and very graciously. And I know him so extremely well, it was appropriate. It was a good question to ask. By the way, I do. He was comforted to hear that. But it is in the context of that I'm going to share some of these verses. Okay? This is some of the places that I look to in Scripture. Now, I've shared some of this before, no question about it. But I'll tell you what. It's a blessing when you're in the midst of it to know where you want to go, and you want to just think about it and pray about it and meditate on the verse. The first one, God wants us to pray for direction. God wants to be part of our lives. You don't recognize it? Jesus Christ wants a relationship with us. He doesn't just want to be a remote God. He doesn't want to be, it's not like these computer games where they, without any feeling about the situation, control things. No. He honestly wants a relationship, and therefore, one of our a major part of that is for us to pray. That's our way of communicating. Now, does he already know our heart? Absolutely. I'm not taking anything away from his ability to know us anyway. But he has said in many ways, he wants us to go to him with our concerns. And I think of James 1:5. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, he's not saying he's going to give in my case, I had a great outcome. But there are people in this auditorium tonight that have prayed the same prayer and don't have such, from a human's perspective, such a positive outcome. It basically learned to live with it. And that's okay too, by the way, because it's God's will. God didn't promise us to go through life and it'd be a rose garden and everything happens right. As a matter of fact, he said, in the world you have tribulation. So why are we so shocked? But we seem to be every time it comes. Myself included. You sit there and you ask yourself, why me? I honestly didn't ask that question. Because I knew I preached it so much, I said, that would be a hypocrite. I'm not asking that question. I'm just asking, Lord, for a little wisdom here, how to approach this, how to handle it. The next one. God wants us to seek direction from his word. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. Isn't that a beautiful truth? How many of you own a Bible? Amen. Everybody's hand went up. Now that's wonderful, okay? But do you recognize what a privilege that is? When I've been out of the country and in third world countries, you would never see that response. You would see people turn around and look at one or two people. because those one or two people have, especially in if it's a different language, and if, you know, in some cases they don't have language in or many copies in their own language. What a privilege we have. Now, having said that, with privilege comes what?
Responsibility.
And therefore, the mere fact that you own a Bible is not what I think God's looking for, is it? He wants us to go a whole nother level and read His Word, and not just read it to read through a portion of Scripture, but literally connect with Him, hear from Him. Now, we've talked before about good rules for that. If I put it in just kind of a long sentence, you have to ask yourself not how does this apply to me first. You ask who said what to whom and why, and what did it mean to them before you ask yourself how should I apply this to me. It's very, very important so that you don't get off track. But this is an important truth. The Word of God has answers for our life challenges. It has answers for when people have turned on us. An individual called me and was so exasperated with life circumstances just recently. They were just at the wit's end. And so we just went through and I just said, well, look up this verse. I happened to have been driving at the time. I said, well, turn to Romans chapter 12 and start reading in verse 14. And you read through the end of the chapter, but in about four verses, I think you and I will both stop and talk about it. That passage, he was having trouble because people hadn't treated him properly or fairly. And honestly, if I only heard his side of the story, and Scripture warns us about drawing all of our final conclusions from that, but assuming his side of the story, and I did, was true, I have no reason to believe it wasn't. He was mistreated in a very significant way. And so the question was, what do you do with that? Well, Scripture has an answer. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all. And then he goes on to say, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Aren't those beautiful truths in the midst of a conflict? And so what becomes your responsibility? How to get even? No. How do I model before this individual and others that I love the Lord even more than anything? By, if it is possible, live peaceably and not seeking vengeance for sure. Amen?
Amen.
The Word is there to guide us. The Word is there to comfort us. I think of Psalms 13. When the individual was at the point of suicide. And then in verse 6 or 5, he says, but I have trusted in thee. And then he goes on to praise God for his provisions. God wants us to prioritize his way. This is huge. Because you know what? His way is often a way we would never choose. I don't know about you, I'm sitting here 6 decades into this race. I am honestly at a place in my life that I would have not charted when I was 20. There is no way. I would have, you know, I'm going to make a plan so that I can live in North Minneapolis. Wow, this is where I want to just spend the rest of my life. I mean, it would have never, and if anybody would have said it, I would have said, are you crazy? What are you thinking? And look at me. Why would you think I would do that? I mean, it was a path that didn't fit. Wouldn't have fit. If fortunate that I don't have a lot of my high school classmates in the congregation, because that wouldn't have fit either. They would have a lot of stories to tell. But what does Proverbs 3 tell us about God wants us to prioritize His way? It says, my son, do not forget my laws. Okay, what does that sound like? The verse before. The Word of God. We don't want to forget it. But let your heart keep my commandments. That's another thing about reading the Bible. It is important to me that I made a decision beforehand that I'm not going to debate whether I'm going to follow it or not. All I want is clarity in what it is. Do you understand the difference? So I first try to seek what it says, and then I say, if that's what the word said, then I want to do it. Even if it doesn't feel right or feel good or appropriate, I want to do it. I just want to be the right person. And then it goes on with the promise, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. And boy, that is so true. Even when it might look from a human perspective rough, if you're in the will of God, we're reading through and studying through 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul was sitting in a Roman prison, and yet he was at peace with God. He was saying, listen, I'm a drink offering, I'm getting poured out, but I fought the good fight, and I am finished the race. He wasn't saying, woe is me. He was saying, no, this is what God had chosen, and I'm fine, I'm at peace with it. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tables of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Here's the point. Seek to honor God with your life. Prioritize His ways. Say, you know what? If the whole world go another direction, I'm still going to stand for what the Bible says. We have all sorts of opportunities to do that today, because our culture is defining wicked is good and good is wicked. I think of the homosexual movement. For someone in a public setting like this to say, you know what? God says that homosexuality is evil. It's wrong. It's a perversion. Now, is that a mean thing to say? Oh, yes, it is. You ought to be thrown in jail. No. No, everyone who loves the Lord ought to say that's at least what God says. Which is, and you know what? They will be better off if they're confronted with the truth and accept it. Their lives will be better off. And we have 100 of those things in our culture now. We have all sorts of ways in which our wisdom of our age has redefined what is truth. When in fact, any honest person would sit back and say, nah, that can't be. Listen, that isn't the way it works. God wants us to trust Him for direction. Now, that can be painful. But it's always, there's a peace in it. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. That's an interesting, you know what? I'll tell you what it is for me. That is a tremendous test of my will. Because when things are going the wrong direction and things don't seem to be coming together, it is easy to just want to run from everything or get mad about it or try to change it. This is saying no. It is saying you discipline yourself and say, no, I am going to rest in Him. I don't understand why this would be happening in the way it is or the timing of it. I don't understand these circumstances, but I know my God. My God is a loving God. He's an honest God. He's a true God. He's a righteous God. And you know what? I just got to do right. He's bigger than I am. He's smarter than I am, and He's been around way longer than I've been. You know, why should I be thinking that I should be the one who designs everything? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He, all your ways. Let me ask a question you ought to ponder. If you just bowed your head right now and asked yourself, Lord, what ways am I not acknowledging Your way? What comes to mind? You might not like the circumstances that have happened for somebody or some circumstance in your life. And, you know, you talk about loving God and you're at peace, but that one area, God, what did You allow that? Now, the truth is, the psalmists do that all the time. And so it's all right for us to go, most appropriately, in a very private setting, and bring our heart's burden to the Lord in those regards. But in the end, remember, Scripture is already laid out where you need to end up. That's trust in Him. Because he knows better than we do. And he promises to direct our paths. God wants to instruct. He wants to teach. And he wants to guide us. Now, in our day of do it our own way, this really does rob us, okay? We have been told in so many different ways in our culture that, you know, we just got to look within ourselves and we got to dig within and then figure out what God is leading and go do it. Be careful. Be careful. You know what? The main event of life is not accumulating money. The main event in life is not a retirement plan. You know what? The incredible thing about it, for our day and age where there's such an emphasis on retirement, it is interesting that you look and look and look and you find nobody in Scripture that is promoted for saying they lived well for 60 years and then retired and lived soft and happy in a... That's not found in Scripture. What you find in Scripture is people giving their whole life and in many cases being as fruitful as ever right at the end for God's glory. Amen? Amen? In other words, no matter where you are in the journey, you ought to be asking yourself, how can I be used of Jesus? How can I impact lives? How can I impact souls for eternity? I will guide you with my eye. That's quite a promise. That's quite a promise. And that's viable as we walk around on the streets of North Minneapolis at night, as much as it is anywhere else during the day. He sees it all. And God wants to give us the desire of your heart. He wants to, but he's a loving God. I am so grateful that he didn't always give me my desire. You know that? He wants to give me the desire of my heart, but he never said he's going to give me every desire of my heart. And for that, I stand before you and say, thank you, Lord. The truth is, I likely would never have been married for the 4 decades that I've been married. I mean, it just wouldn't have happened. Because at different points, you get mindset on different things. There's so often our, humanly speaking, we go the wrong directions. May it not be said of us. But if you line your heart up with the Word of God, he has a way of blessing us. He has a way of putting things back together that are, humanly speaking, impossible to do. Bring reunions, as we heard earlier, of sisters. You know, it's a way of bringing things back together that you say, no, this can't happen. All things are possible with our Lord. And that should be an encouragement to us to stay the course. But in the end, it's not about you getting what you want or you being lifted up or being thought of as a great whatever. That ought not to be our driving motive. In the end, if no one remembers our name, but remembers that we brought glory to Jesus. You know what? I've pastored here for 15 years, and there are some faces that I remember, and I honestly can't remember their names. But I do remember their love for Jesus. That's a sweet testimony. Now, the sweet part about it is God not only knows their testimony, but knew them or knows them right now in the present tense. May that be our goal. Have you done anything today that really pointed the glory to God? Then anyone else would have said, wow, that is true. We serve a great God. Have you done any of that? Well, the truth is, that's what this is calling for. You know, that's a different. Think about that in your own life. Think about going through the day today or going tomorrow. How can you have others recognize the glory of God? I'll tell you one thing. It does have to do with how you behave. So there is an aspect of it. You've got to get your act together and not do things that are, you know, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-the Word of God. But I'll tell you what. If it is only your behavior, I don't think we're lining up with what Scripture is talking about. Go into all the world and do what? Live before them? Is that what it says? It says, go all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus. You know, the good news of Jesus is everywhere. Now, it really does run, this started off with a discussion of woe is us. You know, we've got these things that are going on that aren't going good and aren't going the way we want. My point is, one of the greatest reversals of that is to forget about that. Put that aside and put your energy in to bring in glory to Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? You consciously say, you know what, I'm not going to be defined by this problem or this desire that I have that this situation wouldn't be the way it is. I'm going to go about this day and dedicate it to bringing Him glory. And if that is through witnessing about their need for Savior, maybe challenging somebody to make some changes, but doing it in such a way that it's loving and honoring to God and brings glory to Him. Maybe it's in the way you say, you know what, I could do all of these things for myself, but I'm going to do this for some others today. And in the end, when they say thank you, I'm going to say no. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Now that is a mindset. Now frankly, it is not a mindset that seems to be modeled very often in American Christianity. I don't know why it is. We who are Christians have been successfully silenced to a great extent by those who hate our Lord. May we repent and also change our way and go forward and rejoice in Him. Amen.